Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
I know it may be controversial, especially given who we're talking to today, but I'm not the biggest fan of soup.
That's so sad.
Why is it sad?
Because I love soup.
Do you love soup?
Yeah, but I like chunky soup.
Like
chowder.
Soup?
Yeah, well, like, I actually don't really like a tomato or oil-based soup. I'm more like a hearty, like, clam chowder.
Something
like
that's cream-based
like a cream-based. Like tomato, now tomato bisque game. Something that you can dip. Get, like, bread in there.
Yeah.
Get it up. Yeah.
See, I didn't like tomato soup when I was a kid.
Oh,
because I think part of it was, like, the Campbell's cans. That's what my mom always had. So I was just like, yeah, I'm good.
Those are too watery. That's the problem.
But I've not ever come around to being like, yeah, I want my spaghetti sauce to be just a little thinner, you know? Yeah, I'm good.
I get that.
But, I mean, I could do a stew. Curry.
Curry.
Yeah, I could get down all over.
Yeah.
But
technically curry, it's not a soup.
Yeah. General soups,
See, I just, like, chicken noodle soup, I was never a fan. My mom, for some reason, always thinks that when I was sick, I ate chicken noodle soup.
And you were like, no.
No, I didn't.
That was not me.
Yeah, it was definitely your son.
Yes, not me.
I don't remember eating that, Mom.
Yeah.
That's my thing, though. It's like, I feel like those are really water, oil-based,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just not.
You're not
feeling
that.
It to be thick and hearty. It needs to, like, warm you up from the inside.
Hmm, yeah. Yeah, I've never really gotten into it.
That's interesting. I think it's because I like the idea of being able to take bread, because really bread is the key point.
Bread is the point.
And you can, like...
Bread is always the point.
And, like, wipe it all up.
Like, I could get down on a chili, for sure.
See, that's my point. Yeah. It's like, and I think of chili as a
chili
type of
and curry.
Soup.
See, I don't. I think of chili as a meal. Soup, I'm just like, I'm going to be hungry in 20 minutes. All right, welcome. Season 3, episode 45, number 45. This is Podcast for Good. My name is Heather Lucas. I am the fiscal and policy coordinator. No, am I the coordinator? I think, whatever. I'm the fiscal and policy person for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. Hello. I am joined today by...
Jerrica Ferguson. I am the marketing...
See, I messed us both up.
Go. Marketing and development coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive.
So many coordinators, so little time. So today is the New Year. No, it's not. It's the New Year's Eve. That's what it is. It's the New Year. See?
Stop. Cut,
I gotta stop the voice.
Pause.
All right. So today we talked about first responders with a charity called the Soup Ladies. We spoke with two soup ladies, Lori Noel and Jessica Zielinski, and they talked a little bit about soup. They talked a little bit about first responders. So we talked a little bit about soup and my feelings towards it.
I will say that you also, we actually talked a lot more than just soup. I think their name could be a little bit misleading because they don't just do soup. They actually do lots of other delicious foods that they talk about.
They do.
And then, of course, we do talk about first responders and their side of what they see, which was, I got to say, is just, I didn't realize how far they go into
a scene.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, once they started explaining it and they started talking about, they are as much of a first responder, which they would never admit to, but they're as much a first responder as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these women and a man is just an incredible group of humans that truly make every difference.
Yeah.
Our men and women on the line.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think a lot of people would think, hey, if there's some kind of natural disaster, if there's some kind of tragedy out there and you've got people who are responding, Well, that's their job. That's mm-hmm. what they're supposed to go out there and do. They're supposed yeah. to make sure everything's good and all these people or these events like get fixed and taken care of, right? But who takes care of them?
Yeah.
And nobody does.
And I think that's what the coolest thing was to hear is, you know, they go, they're just there. And, you know, they mm-hmm. talked about that they get to be that rock for these
yeah.
people. This one moment of when they can just pass out a sandwich or pass out this cup, this bowl of food, right, that's all spoon size.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was really neat. It's just that look that they give. And I think the way that Lori talks about it just really captures that. And I just listen to that, particularly that one moment she talks about, just that moment, that glimmer of that it's going to be okay
yeah.
with them. And I think that the biggest thing is that the soup ladies, in my experience of seeing them and watching them grow throughout these years,
mm-hmm.
is they just, like, I'm going to say, like, they care.
Yeah.
But it's beyond care. They love. It's,
yeah.
it's a true love that they have.
That is true.
And
they
it
really
is,
do
it
love.
It is a deep love. Yeah. And it's love for what they do. It's love for who they serve. It's love of their community. And I have just never seen a group of people truly put everything on the line
mm-hmm.
for others. And it's,
well, yeah, like when Lori and Jessica were here, I was like, I feel love from both of them.
Yeah, it is. They
like,
just,
you guys never met me before.
No.
But
and I think
here you are with all your love.
Yeah, that is it was just a pure love of what they do, and that's
mm-hmm.
the best that I can explain it.
Yeah. So it was really great to talk to both of them, and yes, of course, there was a moment where I was like, man, I should quit my job and go be a soup lady.
They would like that.
They would like that. But before we get to our interview with our soup ladies today, I have a question of the podcast for you. Jerrica Ferguson, when you were a kid, did you ever want to be a police officer, a firefighter, or an EMT, like a first responder?
I did for
yeah.
a long time. That's actually was part of, like, when I went to school. That was an initial idea.
Yeah.
But no, I did not become that. But
there's still time.
There's still time. pretty much, I would say, because firefighters have kind of changed into a firefighter EMT position.
Yeah.
That's something I've always been interested in, or really search and rescue has
okay.
always been a field of something that I'm like, that's interesting. Now, I don't know if I could ever do it, but it's definitely something that when I was a kid, I always wanted to be that position.
Yeah.
Of like, let's go find them and save the day.
Yeah. So kind of superhero a little.
Yeah, but no powers. Never
sure.
a fan of, like,
yeah, nobody's flying,
powers.
Nobody has X-ray vision,
no,
yeah.
Because I couldn't as a kid, right? Like,
yeah, so why would you now?
Yeah, so it was, I mean, I played a lot of, like, cops and robbers.
You were always a cop?
Always a cop.
Okay.
Always following law.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like being a robber because it meant you're bad.
I see.
Yeah. That's what the neighborhood kids were for.
Ah,
they got to be robbers.
They were the bad kids.
Yeah.
See, I was on the opposite side. I was always like, yeah, I'll be the bad kid because I was always a good kid. Yeah.
So you got to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy.
I guess
yeah.
so.
I think it's because
yeah.
I like to make like the noise of like woo, as like the cop.
That's
you know,
why.
Like robbers
okay.
don't have their own sound.
No, they have like hey, cop.
You should really get on stage with your voices.
I know
it's
weird.
Something, man.
Yeah,
get
maybe I need to
channel.
Have an animated series.
Yeah,
me and all of my insanity.
That's actually a good title. You should write that down.
I'm writing
me
it down.
And all my insanity.
I'm writing it down now. Me and all of my insanity.
Yeah, you should. You should tell
I should invest
that.
In that?
Yeah.
Tell somebody. Forget it. I'm making it. It's mine. TM trademark. Don't steal. Hashtag all mine.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. So, when I was a kid, yeah, I mean, like, police officer, firefighter, EMT, I didn't really, like, I went through phases where I was like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a teacher. No, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be nothing because I don't want to do anything at all.
Oh,
by
wow.
the time,
that's
yeah,
sad.
I know. Well, by the time I hit high school, I was like, man. Life is going to be hard. There's going to be a lot to do. I'm going to have to get up early. People are going to tell me what to do for the rest of my life. Exactly. I got to be a job. I got to be an adult
yeah.
and responsible. Man. So, yeah, I was a little bummed that I would have to go out there into the world and, like, do things.
You know all those three that you named were also jobs.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
aware. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally aware. So that's why I went from wanting to be one of those to just being like, oh, man.
Oh, I think I like your job. I like you being here with me.
I'm glad that you
and
like me.
I think that you do a great job that really does make a difference. And
oh.
yes, those three definitely do make a large difference in our community. But things like this organization, like the Combined Fund Drive and other nonprofits, they always need somebody like you.
You know what?
Position.
I feel like we have had probably 6 episodes together, and on at least 5 of them, you've told me that you like me and appreciate me.
Well, I do like you and appreciate
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Jerrica.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks for always having my back.
Any is always.
So, speaking of having a back, or someone's back.
Speaking of having each other's back.
Speaking of terrible segues, my name is Heather Lucas, and I'm the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator. We are going to kick off the interview with the soup ladies, Lori Noel.
Why'd you say your title twice?
Because it's a terrible segue. Soup ladies, here's Lori and Jessica and that interview. All right, we're here with Lori Noel and Jessica Zielinski. They are soup ladies.
Hi.
Jessica, Lori, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Can you give us a little history about the Soup Ladies and what your organization does for the community?
So I'll kind of try to highlight it. Mama started it about 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it was after she went to a situation over on the East Coast, and she had noticed that the first responders were coming out and they were just beat. They were just done. And nobody was taking care of them. To include themselves taking care of themselves. And they were just eating MREs, which is just the military's version of meals in a bag, or cold pizza or granola bars. And she's like, no, this is not going to work at all. Like, these are our heroes. These are people that, you know, protect us and defend us and will jump in a fire and whatever. So she came back and went through a whole bunch of red tape because everybody kept telling her, no, you can't do that because you have to do protocols and procedures and stuff. And so she is Italian, and she does not like the word no at all.
Mama doesn't listen to no.
That's
Mama
true.
Does what she wants.
And so she created Soup Ladies.
Okay.
And we are all background. We're screened. We're fingerprinted. So when we show up at a scene, the officers or first responders or search and rescue, SWAT, whatever, they know we're secure.
Mm-hmm.
We're safe. We're an entity that we only cook the food on site type things. Mm-hmm. So they know whatever they're receiving is safe and there's no harm that will ever go to them by ingestion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then for our listeners, Mama is not your actual mother.
Well, not birth mom, but...
So everybody calls her Mama. Even the first responders call her Mama.
Okay.
Of course.
Her actual business cards say
Mama. Yes, her actual business cards say Mama. So she answers to Mama.
Uh-huh.
You call her by her real name, Ginger.
Yeah.
She won't answer.
Okay.
So it's Mama.
Yeah.
And we all... I treat her like a mom.
Nice.
I mean,
and she treats us like her kids.
Yeah.
Nice.
You just show up on a scene and... Like, they kind of light up that we're there, but it's kind of like, I mean, you send the B team in. When Mama walks in, like, if there's anybody, they're like, Mama! And they just run, literally run to her. And mostly it's for a hug.
Oh, how funny.
It is mostly for a hug because her hugs are just, they're the world.
Are they legendary?
They are.
So, who do you serve? Do you serve, like, people in our state? Do you serve nationwide? Like, what's your core demographic?
Nationwide.
Okay.
So the core demographic is the Soup Ladies only serve first responders.
Okay.
So if, you know, a private entity of, you know, that is on some scene wants soup or a meal, we won't serve them.
Okay.
So we only serve first responders. So police, fire, search and rescue, SWAT. Military, we've kind of gotten in that a little bit. That's who we serve.
Okay.
So, and it has to be, they call us. We don't ever go out without being invited.
Okay.
So we just don't show up.
Sure.
We don't self-dispatch. So they call us and tell us how many people need to be fed, and then Mama takes the call. She sends it out to another soup lady, and that soup lady dispatches it to us, and then we respond if we can go.
Okay.
And then we meet at a designated location, pack up all the food, pack up the truck, and go. And Mama likes to see us leave less than an hour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So.
And it's a home cooked meal.
Yeah. Right. No. Yeah.
It's, yeah. She doesn't just throw something together. She will go and she'll cook off like 200 pounds of chicken or beef. And then we have a chop party. Uh-huh. And we literally all just sit and chop that in two. And the unique thing is, and the first responders that are listening to this are going to crack up because everything fits in a spoon.
Okay. Yeah.
So the noodle size will fit on a spoon.
Oh.
So we don't use spaghetti noodles.
Yeah.
Because they won't fit.
Sure.
So there's noodles that specifically will fit. This bite size of the chicken or the beef or the sausage.
That's perfect.
Fits on all of the vegetables, whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But she home makes everything.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So by the time she gets a call, she is already starting that.
Okay.
And then we're out the door in under an hour.
Soup. Good.
You're obviously you're called the soup ladies, but soup is like that's what you make only?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, in the go ahead.
We'll do occasionally we'll do, you know, sandwiches. She's famous for her meatloaf.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
only the special for first responders get that. Yeah, so she'll make other things.
Okay.
And during the summertime, she changes it up because, you know, when you're out on a search and rescue mission and it's 95 degrees,
yeah.
out,
no, exactly
you really don't want hot soup.
So she'll do pulled pork. Yeah. She'll do chicken wrap. She does sloppy joes. Yeah. We go into Safeway. I'm out in Enumclaw. And I think sometimes they dread me coming in because
I'm
wearing my soup lady stuff because I will clean them out of the smaller sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like, I just literally grab the whole thing. And then I go over to the deli and I'm like, I need like 30 more sandwiches. So Safeway knows when we're coming in.
Yeah.
Costco is another like huge lover of soup ladies.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Mama calls and they're like, we'll have it. And then we just fly in, grab our stuff because we have a time limit.
Sure.
Because we have travel time.
Yeah.
And the men and women are hungry.
I mean,
by the time we get there, they're like, they need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So you were kind of going into a day-to-day operation of how that all works. Could you get to the point of, like, so you guys arrive.
Mm-hmm.
What happens from there?
So we arrive, and usually the first thing that we have to do is find the incident commander, who's basically the incident commander is the person that's in charge of that scene. So sometimes it's a sergeant, sometimes it's a lieutenant, sometimes it's Joe Schmo. You know,
mm-hmm. somebody that just, you're in charge today.
Yeah, you're in charge. You drew the short straw. So we usually find them, and then they tell us where to go and set up. So we usually set up within the scene. So we are behind the yellow tape. Mm-hmm. So people that are working that scene can get a meal.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what's super cool about the soup ladies is we're not 3 miles off of, you know, the location. And then we have all this great food, but you have to stop working, get in your car, and drive somewhere to go get food. No, we're there with them the entire time on scene, serving them. You know, we do try to remind them to take off their nasty gloves before they
But we hand serve everything to them.
Okay.
It's not a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Sure.
We, you know, we're gloved up and, you know, we follow the food handlers' precautions. But there are times when we're out with, like, search and rescue and they're covered.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, we'll give you your cookies. We'll do this. We'll do that. Yeah. We take bananas, which they can just shove in their pockets and eat for later.
Yeah.
We do have to-go's. We were at a scene, and we had to actually go closer to the scene.
Uh-huh.
And we are never once ever put in any type of danger.
Okay.
Yeah.
But one of the most beautiful things is we have these big trucks that are pink and white. Everybody knows we're there.
Yeah.
But we're also a shield.
Okay.
Because sometimes the media is there, and they read lips, and they've got the microphones, and, you know, whatever. Yeah. But the truck creates a barrier.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the officers or whomever can eat on the other side of that, and that's not on film.
Yeah.
Or they might be talking about, you know, their kid or something, and the news may pick up, oh, it's inappropriate, they're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
So we provide a barrier for them as well.
Yeah.
And then we have we have everything set up in the
truck. We serve right out of the back of the truck. It's a ready-to-go operation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't set up, you know, tents or anything elaborate that takes time to...
Yeah.
It's right out of the back of the truck.
Nice.
And we, you know, serve the soup out of hot boxes and everything. So
nice.
It stays nice and piping hot for quite a few hours.
8 hours, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Like boiling.
Nice.
Like you gotta kind of let it sit for a little bit.
Okay. So something on your website was that Soup Ladies asks volunteers to take FEMA courses.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it important for someone working with your organization to take courses like that?
So you understand the structure.
Okay.
When I first did it, I'm like, because we had to take the 100, the 200, I think the 200A and the 700.
Yeah.
It is all the but okay. It's just phrased differently throughout the fort. And at the time, I was like, "I what?"
Yeah.
Until, unfortunately, we had an officer killed in the line of duty, and we went to an EOC center, and I was like, "Oh my!" It clicked about that fast what all of the FEMA classes were about.
Okay.
But the famous saying through all of it is stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can never show up and go over to logistics and start running my mouth, or I can't go over to any other thing. I have to stay in my lane. And so the FEMA classes help the structure and understand what we should and shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
And who's in charge of what.
Okay.
So they're mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Mind-numbing.
They are.
But each scene is different.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been on a scene that's the same.
Uh-huh.
And so knowing the structure of things.
Yeah.
And it's not always these big signs that say, command, safety, logistics, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like you look for the jackets.
Yeah. So one thing, like a good example is, I don't know if you were out on the fire with us, the one in Issaquah, mm-mm. the preschool
no.
fire. It was a big structure fire. I mean, they were there all day, and they evacuated a school, and it was a preschool, I think, over in Tiger Mountain. And, you know, the incident commander had told us, okay, park here.
Mm-hmm.
Serve soup. We start serving soup, and then the wind changed, and he didn't want us breathing that nasty smoke because there was a garage attached that had a lot of petroleum products and nasty. So the smoke was just bad for anybody's lungs, and so he asked us to move. He's like, "This isn't good for you guys. This isn't good for anybody else to breathe it." So he's okay. Time to move. And maybe somebody that was new to the situation that may not have taken those courses might have bucked that system a little bit. Like, well, this is where you told us to be, and this is where we're going to stay because we already set up.
Yeah.
But knowing and having the ICS education, you just kind of, yes, sir, pack up, move where he tells you to move.
Which keeps you guys safe.
Yeah.
And it keeps everybody
That's
safe.
That's the whole point
of
the ICS and why soup ladies have to go through that training is just to keep us safe and everybody else on scene safe, too.
Yeah.
So,
So we're talking about first responders and your guys' organization. And, you know, we kind of were talking about how you'd only just provide a meal, right? You provide hugs and kind of a warm face, right? Could you actually talk a little bit about what your knowledge is or what you've seen about first responders receiving adequate mental health care after being on site at an emergency or natural disaster situation?
I don't know if I could address that specific topic because I'm not a first responder receiving the mental care that it takes. Maybe Jessica can. But the first part, I will say, and I kind of break down just because it is one of the most beautiful things I do with my life. And I do a lot of crazy, fun, wild things. But these officers, and I'll just use police as an example, and it could be a line of duty or it could be a shooting or whatever, they are going through their worst day ever up until that point. And they're depleted. They really are. But they're running on muscle memory. They're running on their training. They're running on learned behavior. And the body is not ever designed to run like a robot. But our first responders have to, no matter what. And by us being there, their whole element changes. And if you're a perceptive person and you can feel people and you can see people, and it's one of the gifts that God has given me, and sometimes it's a blessing, but it's a curse at times too. But the movement of putting your hands towards somebody else, and that is received on the other side for a brief second, and it's literally like 10 seconds of a second or 10 whatever, they're human.
Yeah.
And they can just take a deep breath and they can put the blood and the guts and the gun smell and they can put all of that right here and they can stand here and they can take a deep breath and they can become human again and they can realize I'm Tony, I'm Tom, I'm Tim, I'm Amanda, I am this person. And they eat their soup, and we never jump in with hugs because that's a barrier wall that they have to have protected on them.
Yeah.
So we never just go, hi, you need a hug. It's like your worst day ever, but yeah. I'm here to help you. Mama would shoot us. So they'll walk up and they'll just stand beside you and they'll lean into you a little bit, or they'll rub your elbow, or they'll just kind of look at you, or some of them, they just walk up and they just grab you, mm-hmm. and you have no choice because they're big bears and you're just like, okay, but you have to stay in your lane.
Yeah.
You can't break down and cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't show emotion, because in that moment you are their rock.
Sure. Yeah.
And being a soup lady is not just serving soup, or, you know, well, why can't they just take their lunches with them? Why, mm-hmm. you know, I don't understand why you guys do that. They, you know, it's like, it's not even that.
Yeah.
It's not about the sausage tortellini. It is about a heart connecting to a heart, mm-hmm. for one moment, to help them become human for a second.
Yeah.
And it is, whew, it'll rock your world.
Yeah. Well, and from like the critical incident standpoint, like, Lori's so good at bringing that emotion into everything, and then I'm like, the science behind it all. You know,
so it's a good balance on the tape.
Yeah.
It is. So, like, when we respond to these critical incidents, scenes, you know, these guys, it does something to the brain.
Yeah.
To where these things that are normal to them really shouldn't be programmed as normal to them. And soup ladies, they kind of, like, bring them out of that normal for a minute and
okay.
be like, oh no, this is your normal. Like, loving people and eating food with people that you care about, and just for that moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But after a critical incident, most departments will have something called a debrief or a diffusion, depending mm-hmm. on what agency you're with. And everybody on that scene sits in a circle mm-hmm. and they talk about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they get to basically kind of almost try to reprogram your brain and not focus on the blood, the guts, the yuck, the awful, the bad reasons why they were called there.
Yeah.
And they, you know, talk about from training aspects, like what went right, what went wrong, who do you think was, you know, putting their all into that scene, and what, and you know, sometimes, a lot of the time, soup ladies does come up, like, oh, it was just great to have mama there. It was just great to have the soup ladies there. Mm-hmm. Or, really honestly, guys, the only great thing I can take away from this scene is the sausage tortellini. Like,
yeah.
You know, but you're reprogramming their brain during mm-hmm. those moments of, I'm not going to take all of this badness home.
Mm-hmm.
There is some little pearls in
yeah.
there of goodness.
So, yeah, we keep looking at each other because, and I'll just do it very briefly, we were called out to a triple homicide.
Okay.
And it was my first one, and I was like, okay, well, I have mama with me. And we went up there, and I'm like, God, just create a barrier. Just, I'm here to do my job, and I have to, like, I don't know what I'm doing as
mm-hmm.
far as, like, this. And we were like, it was, like, here, and then here we were. So, it was, he went ahead and did to his family, and then he went ahead and caught the house on fire, and he escaped, of course. And so smoke smells, and it was like, just, I can't process in this. And,
yeah.
But at the time I was like, okay, I got this, and blah, blah, blah. And we're on our way home, and I'm like, okay, I still got this. And we got home, and I was like, okay, like, I'm okay, and I'm all right. And I didn't take a shower, and it was really weird because you don't think, you know, whatever. I didn't smell like smoke. I was fine. The next morning, however, I had the worst night ever. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I took a shower, and all that smoke came off of me, and I was like, deer in a headlight,
yeah.
freaking out.
Yeah.
I started bawling my eyes out. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So my brother is special operations, and so I know a few of the guys, and I'm like, okay, well, they live in this world.
Yeah.
So I made phone calls. I'm like, but they're at work. I'm like, argh. So I called one of the police officers, and this is another beautiful, beautiful thing, is that we're not just there for them.
Yeah.
So I called, and he's like, where are you? Meet me right now. I'm like, okay. So I showed up, and I am just sobbing.
Yeah.
And I had called a chaplain within the Soup Lady organization, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. And I don't know what's wrong, and I don't know what I'm processing, and blah, blah, blah. And so after talking to the officer, he goes, Lori, this is PTSD.
Okay.
And I'm like, nope, that's for first responders, that's for our military. And he goes, it's for Soup Ladies. Yeah. Like, you guys are there as well. You guys are seeing what we're seeing. You guys are smelling what we're smelling. You guys are seeing the family. You guys are right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
He goes, it's a TV show. You watch it, you let it go. It didn't affect you. No part of your life did it affect, except for your memory.
Mm-hmm.
So, called this chaplain, and she's like, I'm on my way. I'm like, what are we doing? She goes, we're debriefing. I go, is it going to hurt? Because I'd never done one before.
Yeah.
And it is an incredible process.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I'm like, okay, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it works.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's beautiful, actually, I think, to not obviously have to experience something so horrible, but mm-hmm. Soup Ladies do experience it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned Soup Ladies have chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell our listeners what exactly is a chaplain, and then what do they do for the Soup Ladies?
So, well, chaplains are, there's hospital chaplains.
Okay.
So, and then there's police and fire chaplains,
mm-hmm.
and there's military chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on where you fall in the classification. So most Soup Lady chaplains are police and fire chaplains.
Okay.
I'm one. I get to work for my home city, so I work for the Enumclaw Police and Fire.
Okay.
On top of volunteering for the Soup Ladies, so basically, chaplains, we come in and we just walk alongside of anybody that is having a really crummy day,
okay,
or a major life event, or a huge loss,
mm-hmm.
or and we do that for our fire guys and our police guys and gals too, and. Or just a member of the city, like a resident of the city.
Okay.
Or a Soup Lady. You know,
mm-hmm.
it just, it really, it doesn't matter. There's little boundaries with that. Like, we get called in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we never self-dispatch. We're always invited.
Sure.
So, we get called in to a need.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're essentially like a grief counselor.
Almost.
Yeah.
And we walk alongside of them to help them work through whatever is going on with them.
Okay.
So, and Mama always encourages, if you feel led, to be a chaplain, because we do go to such heavy scenes occasionally. And, you know, my journey brought me to Soup Ladies and to the Enumclaw Police and Fire Department. So I'm really blessed with that. But, yeah, it's great. And we just kind of, after a call, we'll sit in the Soup Lady truck, or we'll go to Taco Time and do our little debriefs and work through it together. And
mm-hmm.
you know, same concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about what went right, what went wrong, what we can do better, what we need to keep doing that worked, and any sort of things that are, you know, sticking out to us, you know, stuff like that we feel like we're gonna drag through our personal doors and not leave at the scene.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing, you know, as a chaplain or as a Soup Leader, as a first responder, the biggest thing that I tell everybody is you can still have compassion and empathy towards the people you're walking alongside, but you have to be careful. And I always say, this is not my trauma.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my trauma,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So that's the biggest thing with that. Because Soup Ladies are there to bring soup and love.
Yeah.
And, but we want to leave the scene at the scene.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
So, yeah.
Could you guys talk a little bit about some of the areas, because we know about you guys, but could you kind of, for our listeners, talk a bit about all the places that you've touched? Because you guys have even gone way down south. Can you?
Yeah.
So we, that's Mama.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, I don't watch the news because I have a child that's in the Army and
mm-hmm.
he deploys. I have a brother that's in the Army, he deploys. The news is a no-go.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because that's just our standard rule, because they report and then this sister or mom just loses her mind. So
yeah.
I don't watch the news.
Right.
So all the Soup Ladies, and I'm just going to bracket that, watch the news. And they're like, oh, did you see? And I'm like, or my husband's like, okay, you're probably going to get a call. So I'm like, what's going on? Because I don't watch it.
Yeah, sure.
But I think Mama watches the news just so she can go, okay, we're going to go to Texas. We're going here. We're going here. So she, again, doesn't ever self-deploy. She doesn't call Dallas PD and go, so I hear you guys got something going on. She never, oh, my gosh. So they actually, state of Texas, whatever, when we had the shooting there a few months ago, they called Mama.
Okay.
I'm not sure how her phone number reached Texas, but California for the Paradise fires, Vegas for the shooting, Dallas for the five officers, the hurricanes. She will go into the hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that firefighter that says, I like, run into the fire when everybody's running out.
Yeah, yeah.
Mama runs to the hurricanes and the tornadoes.
Yeah. She does. Tsunamis. She does. She went to North Carolina. Was it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
OSA was a huge, huge thing for Soup Ladies. I think they were deployed for 16 days.
Yeah, that was the first interaction the CFD actually had with the Soup Ladies from OSA. Yeah.
So, and then it's just local. Yeah. We do a lot of stuff with search and rescue.
Okay.
And we could go anywhere in the state of Washington with search and rescue.
Yeah.
And I like to tell people, I don't like to, but I tell people if you see it on the news and it looks like it's going to be a little while, we're usually there.
Yeah.
But we never, ever, ever, ever talk about anything.
Sure.
Until it's on the news. Mm-hmm. Right. So even our spouses were like, oh, we're on a Soup Lady mission. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Because they know they can't go, where are you going?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we have a confidentiality that we have to keep within our organization for our safety, depending on what that call is and the safety of where we're going.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pink and white trucks, everybody knows.
It's kind of.
But like we could go to Costco and they're like, oh, where are you going? And we're like, oh, we're going out on a mission.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we never, we can't disclose it.
Yeah.
Until it's, you know, public knowledge and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's, there was one mission. It was a 3-day one.
Okay.
Out in Eastern Washington. And I couldn't even tell my husband. Like, hey, babe, I'm going to be back in 3 days.
Yeah, yeah.
We got this. Like, yeah. And he's like, well, where are you going? I'm like, somewhere in Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all I can give you.
Yeah, yeah.
And our husbands, I will say, they're going to be listening to this. And Papa Harvey, who is Mama Ginger's, everybody calls him Harvey, but she's Mama, so I call him Papa.
Sure, yeah.
They are sometimes the strength that keeps us going.
Yeah.
Especially Mama. That woman will run herself into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a first responder calls, it does not matter if a call got done at 2. At 2:01, she's on another.
Sure.
Thing.
Yeah.
Because the call is there. She's also a chaplain.
Yeah.
So the call is there. She is done. She's out. And so our guys that stand behind us, that hold the fort down, they're not the real MVPs. They are the MVPs. Because they hold things down, and they know that we can't say anything. But they know sometimes we're going to walk in that door, absolutely lose our minds because of what we've had to go through or see.
Yeah.
And they're amazingly supportive. And within our organization, we have, you know, some younger ones, maybe early 40s. I don't think we have anybody. Well, maybe mid 30s.
Yeah.
And then up to maybe 60s.
Okay.
But I can call any soup lady, go, I'm having a day.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's go get coffee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is a very tight sisterhood. We do have stew dudes. As well.
Yeah. Stew dudes.
Yes. So there are muscles sometimes when we need it or we can't figure something out with the trucks or whatever, but it is just such, it's a sisterhood that gets so big, and the opportunities that we get, they'll call us and like, oh, we're having a training mission, and it's the Swiftwater team, and so we get to go watch them train. And
It's not all bad stuff.
No.
Yeah. I mean, like next weekend is Shop with a Cop.
Cool.
It's just, you know, South King County, like, agencies. And
King
County. But it's huge. And, we get to go to that and serve the officers breakfast. And
the kids.
And the kids. And it's just, I mean, that is fun.
Yeah.
It is just so fun.
Yeah. And
you guys get chief for the day, too.
Yes, we do chief for the day.
Yeah. We were there last year.
We do.
Okay.
We help them. There's another one I cannot remember. It'll come back to me. But it's not all yucky.
Sure.
You know, we're in the parade this
weekend.
Yeah, the parade this weekend.
Christmas parade.
That's huge.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to come in. We're going to get the float decorated. It's going to be raining.
Yeah.
But we'll just adapt and overcome.
Decked out in pink.
Mm-hmm. Pink and white.
Yeah.
Yep, pink and white.
Pink and white. Pink and white Santa hats.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple other surprises.
That's
but
good.
Yeah, so it's not all badness.
No.
But, you know, we've been a part of the badness for so long, they invite us to the good stuff.
That's good.
Too.
Yeah.
So it's, I love the good stuff.
We get to do ride-alongs.
Yeah. Ride-alongs.
Because they know we're secured. We've already been background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Mama actually encourages ride-alongs. Mm-hmm. A lot, because if you do a ride along, you can you see a whole another side to that steering wheel,
yeah,
and it helps you actually serve them better.
Yeah, okay, you get to know them.
You do, and I think that actually bridges a gap. There's a certain group that I'm not going to call them out, but the doors are like this.
Okay,
and I've been at this for 3 years now, and now the door is doing a little bit
just a little open,
but it's because I'm familiar to them.
Sure.
I'm not just a newbie, and they have to be very protected and very guarded.
Yeah,
you know, they can't just love everybody that walks to the door because of what they're doing. So consistency is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to the Soup Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Donations feed people and keep gas in the truck.
Okay. Yeah.
So we can drive to feed people. So, Lori, you had you did the math.
I did the math. So without the overhead, because I'm just not going to get into all that, but basically it's down to $2 a meal.
Okay.
So I believe one of your questions was, what does $10
do? Yeah.
That's going to feed 5 people.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Five responders.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I
How
think if anybody could give, do it. You know, one of our biggest things is, you know, people ask, you know, why do you do it? Why do you do it? And then you get people that sit on their couch and go, oh, I really want to do something with my life. Being a soup lady is like, it's the coolest thing in the world. It is so amazing. And to be a part of a hero's world is like, dude, you're like walking with Superman or Wonder Woman every time you get on a scene. Who doesn't want that in their life, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's so much crap in this world, and there's so much garbage, and there's so much political, and there's so much hate, and there's so much, dude, walk 1 foot with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if people could see what their lives are like, what their worlds are like, what it's like to drive around and do a ride-along, and see people's responses. People's minds might change a tiny bit of how they treat any of our first responders or our military. And I'm not saying you have to love everything they're doing.
Sure.
But respect what they're doing.
Yeah.
No one's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't even know a preacher that's perfect. I don't know a librarian or a Safeway clerk or no one is perfect.
Yeah.
No one is. So if we can step a second into someone else's world, why not? So the donations are huge. You can go to soupladies.org.
Yeah, if you can't be a soup lady, donate.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I think you were going to ask how many people are usually on the scene. And it depends.
On the organization.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like, let's say on average, it's not like, you know, you're only going
to
have
five.
We cook for about 20 to 30 every time we're deployed out to a scene.
Yeah.
A pot of soup feeds
35.
35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you take that number that you were just talking about, if that you can do that within a month for your donations, and that's reasonable, and you're doing such a great cause because you guys get called out so often.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been times. So there are 3 Soup Lady trucks at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
There's been days where all 3 of them are in different locations.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it is.
We're hopping.
Yeah. It can get
and it's scene busy. After scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's or mission after mission.
Yeah.
So Jessica and I could be on one, Mama in another one, and somebody in somebody. So we got the 3 trucks rolling, and then we'll get a text. So you guys are out in this area. Swing by Safeway.
It's
clean them
before.
Out, and you guys are now routed to you. So
unfortunately,
this time of year is like, it's hard on everybody because there's just so much. I think sadness and whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's like boom, 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 boom. I think this month, we're only into December 5th. We've been out 7 times.
Wow.
Last week was...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
You guys are busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're busy.
Definitely need those donations.
Yeah. And it's pretty awesome because people just, they want to help, but they don't know how.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And... Yeah, I will say...
You can't be a soup lady.
Right.
Definitely donations are one way. Yeah. You're still feeding first responders.
Yeah.
You're just doing it with George Washington and Benjamin Franklin instead of your own two hands.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's awesome.
And it's actually very cool because if you donate, then there's a group of soup ladies that get the list of everybody and that you get a personal handwritten thank you card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, that donation doesn't get forgotten.
Yeah.
It's... We... Keep that personal touch wherever we go. We aren't commercialized. We aren't, you know, all high tech.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally just women and men that don't want to sit on the couch and want to do a bigger purpose.
Nice. I love that. So before we go, do you guys have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Potentially in 2020.
Yeah.
2020. Oh, goodness. What are we doing in 2020?
Dude, we got to get through the parade and shop with a cop.
Then you can think about 2020.
Right?
Then.
Right?
Yeah.
2020.
And we never know. I mean, we don't have anything like set.
Sure.
It's just we know, you know, when we head into fire season, everybody stay close to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not do vacation that time because we're hopping.
Okay.
When we get into the holidays, we're like, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Really bad things happen. When we head into spring, we're like, okay, everybody's going to start getting active again. So. Mm-hmm. It's just an ebb and flow.
Sure.
I would like to say, if there is someone that is sitting there listening to this going, I wonder what it would be like. Oh, I would just cry. I love it so much. But the FEMA classes is what stops a lot of people from becoming a soup lady. And it's like 7 hours. If you did from like class one to the final one of 700, it is mind numbing.
Yeah.
But... That's almost like a test
to
weed out the week.
Sure.
And that sounds so bad after all.
Well, you can break it
this...
up, too. You don't have to take
it
all at once.
You don't. Yeah. You don't. You can do a little bit here, a little bit there. It's online, so you can pause it. Except
and
for the
it's
test.
Free.
It's free.
Yeah.
It's all free.
And you can break it up. But I know that we've talked about being at homicides and fires and, you know, whatever. But we also get to do some of the coolest things. We just get to, like, stop in at a fire station and feed them.
Yeah.
Why? Because Mama doesn't have anything going on that day. So she'll just cook a pot of soup and two or three of us will head over there, just sit and visit with them and talk with them. And don't let the FEMA classes stop you. Mm-hmm. Just don't even let that. If you are a deputy's wife or a police, they can sit down and do the class with you.
Yeah.
If you're a firefighter wife, EMT, whatever, they can do the class with you. It's not like it's, you know, this closed thing that nobody can help you with. But if you're thinking about doing something with your life that will impact it beyond anything you've ever done, take the FEMA classes and get it done.
Yeah.
Once that, you'll go through a small interview process with one of the soup ladies, and then background's done, and then you get your badge, and then you get to go be a part of something that is so incredible. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I feel like you sold me. I want to be a soup lady now.
Yes.
Be a soup lady.
And
I'll help you take the FEMA classes.
We are
based out of Buckley, Washington.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But some people think, well, I don't live close to Buckley, Washington. I can't be a soup lady. We need soup ladies everywhere.
Yes, we do.
Throughout the state.
Because if there is an incident down here and, say, Mama's on another call or another scene, you can just be like, I'm going.
Yep.
Cool. I'm 5 minutes away. Cool. You know, it's amazing to have people just spread out.
Yeah.
And we currently do have a few stationed at different places in state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So if something happens by Redmond,
Mama
just calls her girl up there. She's like, do you?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, she's got the pot, she's got the food, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The soup ladies in her area, they're done. We have a soup lady, I think, in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Texas, California.
Yep.
Maybe Oregon. I haven't heard on that one. So Mama's ultimate is there needs to be soup ladies in every state.
Global domination.
Yeah.
Because there's such a need for it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Especially in Chicago.
Oh, gosh.
Just saying.
Those soup ladies would never get a night's rest.
No, they won't.
Yeah.
But it's not hard to do. It's not hard to do. And we have soup ladies that can't handle certain situations for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't go.
They don't go.
That's fine.
They don't
go. They save it for the fun stuff, and that's okay, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? There's a niche for everybody.
Yeah.
Even if it's card writing, even if it's doing just the top parties, even if it's organizing the soup lady napkins and spoons and putting 100 kits together, which is 100 of everything in a kit, and you just grab it and truck and go. There's something for everybody. You don't just have to go out on the calls.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to do. So much to do. And many hands make light work.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks for having us. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. Thank you, Jessica.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, that was our interview with Lori and Jessica from the Soup Ladies. Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
So one thing that they said about part of their organization, you know, Soup Ladies is kind of a deceptive name. It doesn't exactly say this is what we do. Sure, we provide a warm meal. It's not always soup, but it's not always ladies. Like, they have this name for the men who are part of their organization.
What was that?
The Stew Dudes.
Stew Dudes. That's right.
That's so funny. I do got to tell you, like, when there's like a little cute rhyme kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's your jam.
Yeah, that is my jam. Yeah. You got me.
I will say that, you know, kind of what we talked about before the podcast started, but just really, it's just still, you know, they just care. They love. They just, everything that they're doing just matters so much. And I don't think that people realize how important this role is. Mm-hmm. And not every state has something like this.
Yeah.
Not every area has this. And I mean, when they were talking about them being called every night,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I didn't realize. You know, in my head, when I've met them before, I was thinking like, you know, it's 4 to 5 people that get together when they can to like do it. And I did not realize this is a high functioning, which I knew, but I didn't realize how many times they get called, and not just in our state, but you know, in Texas. When disaster strikes, of whether it's an on scene real situation where, you know, there's death involved to fire and property is involved. They are there and they are seeing it and they're witnessing it. And they are needed.
Yeah, so we first met them when Oso happened.
Yeah.
And that's a disaster that is, I mean, it was terrible, and it was like a natural disaster kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. It was earth and everything that has to go along with weather, right? Mm-hmm. So it took me a hot minute to be like, wait, this isn't all you do? You don't respond to just like landslides
and
earthquakes and hurricanes?
Natural disasters like that, but no, it is so much more.
Yeah, so like anytime there's something that is happening out there where first responders are, they're going to be in the line of fire in a situation. They never know like right away what they're going into, but when they go to a situation that is like, if it's just people, if it's law enforcement, if it's natural disaster, they're there. And yeah, they talked about having to be called out in certain places a lot. And then also for other states, you'd think that this would be something that, say like a police department would say, you know, we need this kind of support for our people who are out there, our officers, our enforcement personnel, like any of them, but it's not something that happens.
And it's so unique, and, it's so unique, and I think it's amazing that they're trying, you know, they're growing, and they're getting certain states that they visit, you know, people are inspired by them, and being able to start doing that. And every time I see them on the news or see, you know, their Facebook posts pop up, I love it, because like what we felt in the room talking with them, all about love, it's like, I just know the great work that they're doing.
Yes.
And you just know it the moment you meet a soup lady.
Yeah, it's true.
There's no question. They just burst full of, like, this is my life. Like, this is what I do. This is the passion I have for.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate it. It's creates so much optimism and so much, it just makes you feel good, even though they may be talking about, sadly, as you know, heard in the interviews, some things that, you know, don't go the way that's great, or they don't realize, you know, because we kind of touched a little bit on the mental health part of seeing these things, and they're affected too.
Yes, they are.
And I think listening to those things, it really makes you appreciate that you live in a safe community,
mm-hmm.
and there's people out there that are willing to protect each other, to protect us.
Yeah.
And I just really loved and appreciated this interview.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's a great way to wrap up the year.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, adorable. So it is the last day of the year, New Year's Eve. We are going to have our campaign numbers released for the January 10th week. It's our standard kind of space when we do that. So things were looking great for the year. I don't want to say yay quite yet because, I just want to get the real numbers out there first.
Mm-hmm.
But anticipate us saying, yes, this was our campaign. It is complete and it was awesome. And we'll be doing that around January 10th. So the CFD staff, we have a couple of us who are in and out of the office. So if you can't get a hold of us, just contact our main line or cfd@sos.wa.gov so we can help you out with anything you need. And then we also have the season, 'tis the season to nominate volunteers for all of their fundraisers, all of their efforts. So if you're a volunteer and you know someone who did amazing work for one of your fundraisers, go onto our website and nominate them for an award.
Or if you're a supervisor or just a coworker of a CFD volunteer, or you saw how great your executive management or executive sponsor of the CFD worked, please nominate them. We have nominations for Thurston County and the statewide, which are going to be due on January 17th. And then we also have Snohomish and King County awards on January 10th that are due. If you're out of those counties and you're not there and you're still wanting to nominate volunteers, please use the statewide volunteer for local coordinators, campaign leaders, and our executive sponsors. It's so important to recognize people all year round, and so that's why we want to start doing that today. So please go to our website at give.wa.gov and nominate your special CFD volunteer leader or,
CFD volunteer leader. Yeah. And then we'll be tallying all the nominations and getting everything all prepared. We'll start having those recognition events to recognize all these amazing people who've done amazing work for us starting in March. So look forward to that. You'll see that upcoming on our website as well. Jerrica, it was lovely doing podcasts with you this year.
Oh, Heather, thank you. It was lovely listening to these podcasts, and I always appreciate you allowing me to join on the pod.
Anytime, buddy.
Ah, thanks. These are truly podcasts for good.
Ah, look at that. She said the name. Bye.